about how reality works, and therefore it is just a part of their world for them. When we channel in this form, which truly is more, as the channel has said, a form of telepathic communication between her and us, we are still nonetheless present to a certain degree as souls, as spirits, and most animals, the majority of cats and dogs, would be able to see us, sense us at least, but also to see our presence and to react to it as they choose. Some might not care that much. Some are very attracted to the energy. And just so, different cats, different individuals of cats, prefer to be with different kinds of humans because different humans have different kinds of energies as well. We will get to dogs in a moment, but much of what we say about cats does apply to dogs. Cats are more refined, ethereally speaking. They tend to work with humans on the upper set of chakras, if you will. Dogs and cats both work on the heart chakra. Dogs tend to help with the lower chakras, the emotions, the sense of survival, the will to move forward into life. Cats work more with the ability to express yourself, to be an individual, to see the unseen and to connect with God. It would be a wonderful pun to say that dogs help you connect with God, but, and in a sense they also do, for both cats and dogs help with the heart chakra, the ability to allow yourself to feel and to express those feelings to others from a level of love. Cats often choose to come to the same individuals again and again. They have shorter lifespans, so if they leave one body, they often choose to come back in another body. Sometimes that is recognized, sometimes the spirit, the personality is enough of the same, the vibration is enough of the same that it is recognized. Other times they choose a very different expression. Sometimes because they have learned or resolved, rather, they've resolved certain issues that they had that they were working through with the help of their humans in the previous lifetime. And having that burden lifted, they are able to come in a different way, a very different form. Cats and dogs are both here to help humans not so much not be in their heads so much, but more to not just be in their heads, but to also be in the rest of their body's form, to connect more firmly with the earth in a sensation kind of way, to connect more clearly and cleanly with other beings in an emotional kind of way, to be aware on the spiritual level of their connection with the entire network of living beings on this earth, in addition to connecting in a mental way. many humans do tend to just be in their minds and to think, but not to have a physical connection or an emotional connection or a spiritual connection. Therefore, cats and dogs very much enjoy, have as their one of their jobs, which they do enjoy, helping humans to make these connections, to first more firmly connect within themselves, within their own physical bodies. For this reason, having pets around can be very beneficial for people who are withdrawn, even to the point of autism, because autism is a form, an extreme form of disconnection from the physical body of the spirit. Animals can help greatly by communicating in nonverbal ways, communicating that sense of connection and communicating how to connect and communicating the idea that it is safe and okay to connect. To a certain extent, all human beings have been trained, have had teachings from very young to be afraid of their bodies and to be afraid of physical anything, to be afraid of running because you might fall and skin your knee, to be afraid of riding your bike because you might fall and hurt yourself, to be afraid in so many ways of just living fearlessly that they do contract and withdraw to some certain extent from their physical existence. And to whatever extent that you have contracted from yourself, withdrawn from yourself, to that extent you are less, obviously, by definition, you are less in the world. And as a human being, one of the gifts that you have is to be fully in the world, as any incarnated being on this planet. And it is a wonderful world despite all of the fearful messages that are being sent. There is so much more that is right with this world and that is even right with your other fellow human beings than is wrong. But it takes a deal of doing to convince yourself of that when you have been told your whole life that the opposite is true. Animals, dogs and cats in particular, especially, can help you ease back into being more fully in this world, and they do as part of their purpose. Again, speaking on the species level, there are dogs also. As we said, dogs tend to the lower set of chakras, cats tend more to the upper set. There is an overlap at the heart chakra. There aren't any hard and fast rules. Some cats do also help with the lower chakras. Some dogs, some particular breeds of dogs, help with the upper chakras. It is not an absolute wall between them. It's more an overlap, depending on breed and individual creature. Again, humans have been taught to very often to revile the things that the lower chakra represents. The base chakra, which is your very survival, you have been told in so many ways that things that you naturally went for as a child, which for you meant survival, you were told it was wrong, it was bad, so you contracted a bit, thinking, oh, I can't ask for that or go for that. Now, perhaps how you ask for it might have been a childish way, but instead of just being told no, it might have been more optimal for you to be instructed in a way to ask that was not only honoring yourself, but honoring others at whatever level was appropriate for that age. The second chakra is your basic emotions, the kinds of emotions that often are seated in the body, and so they are very strong. And so often, especially boys, are told, don't cry, or you have nothing to cry about, or worse yet, stop crying, or I will give you something to cry about. Of course, girls have also been told these things. Or other emotions. And very often the intention of the human who is saying these things to the child was they wanted the child to feel better, and the person did not know how to handle the child's pain. They were uncomfortable with it, they couldn't deal with it themselves, it aroused turbulence in them that made them feel fearful. So any of those, all of those, so they did what they could to shut the child up, to stop the child from crying, when the more honoring thing to do would have been to allow the child to cry, to allow the child to talk about it, or if the child was angry, to talk about that, or if the child was feeling any other of the large number of emotions and feelings that children are told aren't acceptable. If the human tending them had allowed them to feel those feelings instead of feeling shamed for having those feelings, then that person would have been able to more fully and healthily express themselves as they grew older. So a lot of those emotions tend to be the person feels ashamed of them and tries to deny them. And the problem with denying an emotion is that it's like putting something in the back of your refrigerator and pretending it isn't there for too long. It starts to rot and mold and fester and turn into something else other than what it really was supposed to be. And only by acknowledging it and looking at it and letting it move, letting it flow, will that emotion become healthy again. Unfortunately, it is now so scary looking that nobody wants to look at it, and all they want to do is throw it away. We would suggest, you know, at least poking it with a long stick and exploring it. And then the third chakra has to do with physically doing what you want to do in this world. And again, this is another place where very young children are told no, 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 so many times as they explore their environment. When instead a healthier thing would be, instead of no, to say instead, to redirect a child's explorations into safer realms if it needs to be at all. Sometimes the no is not appropriate, even, and the child should be allowed to explore. So dogs come into our lives, and what is the first thing that people think about dogs? Very often it is that they love you unconditionally. They don't care if you're angry. They don't care if you are trying to accomplish something in the world that other people think you shouldn't try to accomplish. They don't care if you are doing things that are for your survival. If you have a steak on bone and you gnaw that bone down to so there's nothing left on it, you may get a sad little look from your dog, but your dog will still love you. And it is in being loved unconditionally in that manner that we find ourselves unfolding a bit and relaxing a bit in those areas, so that we realize, well, maybe